John.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. So how many of you have heard these two parables before? The parable of the shepherd, the parable of the lost coin, and there's actually a third one in this string of parables, and that is the parable, and I'm not going to say we should call it the lost son, but what do we tend to call it? The prodigal, right? The prodigal son, yeah. So these are three parables all in a row. And, you know, when we look at the parable of the lost sheep, you know, we've heard this in each of the Gospels. But Luke's Gospel is a little different in this way. And you heard today the translation from the Message, because I wanted you to hear it a little bit differently than you normally hear it. So how many sheep are there? 100. One is lost. That's all it says. One is lost. Now, are you like me? Do you wonder what happened? Like, what? Yeah. What happened with the one? I mean, Jesus leaves the 99 to go look for the one, but what happened to that sheep? Right? Did it wander off by itself? Did it escape? Was it out on the fringes where it shouldn't have been? Did it get caught in the thicket? Did it want to go just party with some other sheep for a while? And I'll come back. And then realizes everybody's gone. I mean, are you curious about that sheep? Because you know what happens? We tend to blame the sheep. Well, it's probably something you did. You were either not paying attention, you overslept, you were hanging out with the wrong crowd, you were on the edge, right? You went into a place where I clearly told you not to go. So we tend to blame the sheep here instead of looking at the shepherd. And nowhere in this story does it say anything about the sheep's behavior. It just says that one was lost. So can you imagine this shepherd counting? How many of you ever had to count heads when you're on a field trip with kids? Right? It's the most scariest thing you've ever done. So I did a Girl Scout trip. They all had green caps. We're in Washington. I am the tallest, so I'm counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. No, get over here and blah, blah, blah. And then you realize, oh, my gosh, one of them is missing. And you say, girls, stand here. Do not move from here. I will be back. And you go looking for that child. That is what this is like. This is not Jesus coming and then all of a sudden saying, where were you? I've been looking at you, looking for you. It's, oh my gosh, come. Oh, I'm so glad I found you and bring you back. Jesus lifts this sheep up, puts this sheep over his shoulders, and the warmth, you can just tell that the sheep is just so happy, and brings back to the fold. But there's something else about this sheep that we maybe can identify with. Because we will say, like, well, kind of like the phone. If I called out to it or I called it, it's going to respond, isn't it? It's going to, like, ah, I'm over here. Right? Yeah. Unless, of course, something happened that it can't talk. If it's not stuck in anything and it hears Jesus or God or the shepherd calling, it's going to come. It knows the shepherd's voice, right? So we can say, okay, well, the sheep kind of plays a role in this, right? The sheep has the ability when God calls or when the shepherd calls to come forward or to call out or to do something. So, yeah. We hear God's grace and God's mercy, but the sheep has a responsibility and a role in that. It's almost as if the story gets cut short for us, and we don't know how long Jesus was actually, or the shepherd, looking for that sheep. So that's why I like the parable of the coin. 10 coins, one goes missing. This coin means everything to this woman. Now, we don't tend to say, Well, the coin should have been paying attention, for goodness sake. I mean, really, what did it do? Flip over to the edges and was hanging out with the wrong crowd? Next thing you know, it fell off the table? How did this coin get lost? What was it doing? Nothing. The coin did nothing to get itself lost. And so then we can take our focus off of the doing or the action of the lost person or object and say, it was just lost. So what does the woman do? She scours the house. Has anybody here ever lost something that is precious to you that when you call out to it, it can't answer? Like, the woman's not saying, hey, coin, where are you? Are you here? I mean, yes, sometimes we do that. Okay, where would I be, right? We do that if we're honest. But we know that it can't respond to us. So we keep looking and looking and looking. Do we keep the light off? Absolutely not. We flick on every light in the house. I mean, if you've lost something that's precious to you, what do? You pull out every drawer, you're flipping through things, things are probably on the floor, you're sweeping around. You don't give up until you find it. Because only you are capable of finding it. Otherwise, it's going to be lost forever, isn't it? That's how it is. The coin is unable to say, I'm over here. Or to, when it's called via another coin, it can't start screaming out the Alicia Keys New York song saying, I'm here. No, it can't. It waits for the woman to find it. That is who Jesus is. That is who God is. That woman who will not stop at anything to find you, because you can't come forward, because you're not able to. And you know something? That is why God's grace is so offensive, when we understand that we can't do that. We expect God takes a step, we're going to take a step like the sheep. No, we can't sometimes. Most times, we need for God to come all the way, like this woman did, pick us up, as in picking up the coin. She probably ever so carefully dusted it off, or whatever might have been on it, probably kissed it, and said, thank God I found you. Praise God. And the angels sang. And that's what it's like when this woman, God, finds us, when Jesus comes and doesn't stop searching, picks us up, gives us a bath, hugs us, and says, thank God. You're mine. And I'm never letting go of you. And I love you exactly the way you are. And when we hear those words to that song, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, and now I see. What is that amazing grace, that offensive grace, if we want to say offensive, because it says we're rendered unable to come to God. But that amazing grace, that beautiful grace, is the grace in which God comes directly to us. And what is that sweet sound? That sweet sound is this. There you are. I found you. You're mine. You will never be lost again. I am with you forever. You are my beloved and precious child, now and forever. Amen. Amen.